Hey, this is Bill Vanderbush, and I want to encourage you to check out my friend Norman Brown and his podcast called New Pneuma, and you can go to newpneuma.com to find it. It's P-N-E-U-M-A.com. Norman talks about everything from identity to grace to diversity to unity to reconciliation, and his desire really is the same as what's on my heart, and that is to bring people together, to be the kingdom of God, to express the love and grace of Jesus here on the earth. I highly encourage you to check out Norman Brown and the New Pneuma podcast.
What's up, New Pneuma fam? The time has finally come for me to step up my game on YouTube. So in January 2023, I will begin focusing most of my attention on building not one, but two YouTube channels. One will focus on just audio, and the other on live videos. So do me a favor, take out your phone, go to your YouTube app, and subscribe to both channels now. Look for New Pneuma Godcast Live, as well as New Pneuma Godcast Audio. And subscribe right now, because later is too late. Thanks, fam. Peace. Today's podcast starts a series that was recorded on the Clubhouse platform in a room belonging to the club called the High Culture Podcast. I was invited to speak as part of a panel discussion along with two others who were invited by Terrence Frederick to speak to this issue. So although it is not my platform, the subject is still very relevant to my podcast mission, and is relevant to the United States, especially in light of the increased attacks against those of the Jewish belief system most recently. This is a very important topic for us in the church as it relates to our unity. So please listen to the whole series to have your eyes hopefully open. Peace.
So right now you are in the High Culture Podcast room. I know some people might be thinking, why do you have podcasts in Clubhouse? Well, it's an extension of our High Culture Podcast show. And that's with me, Jonathan, and Sister Sheree. And then I got my partners in here that I build with regularly or irregularly. But whenever we build, it's good. We have interesting conversations. We're all of the same faith, though we may differ in different conversations politically or on certain topics. So I felt like this would be a good topic for us to build on. They don't really know each other like that. So I'm the common thread that all of them know. So it's going to be good. It'll also be getting to know each other and also test out some ideas, look at what the scripture says. But I said, what would be a good topic for all of us to build on? And that was race wars. And I know we're going to talk about the ideology of race. Does race even exist? Are there multiple races? We'll talk about ethnic beefs, but I wanted to limit it to, or at least start with, the foundation of in the church, because it can get outlandish and go all different kinds of places, and it still might branch out. But I want to talk about that because all of us have a kingdom agenda. We all have a focus and foundation on advancing the kingdom and advancing the gospel of Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach. So that's what we're all, that's our foundation. As far as where we build from there, what we tease out, it's just going to be how the conversation goes. But I wanted everybody to get an opportunity to introduce yourself and talk about who you are and what you do. And then we can chop it up and go from there into the topic. So whoever wants to start first, go.
All right, I'll go first. This is Norman. I live in Baltimore, Maryland. I'm the host of a Christian urban podcast called New Pneuma Godcast. I'm also the author of several books. My first book was notably called Among the Wolves, which is about false prophets, how they move in the church and whatnot. And that was birthed out of a personal experience. And so I have a focus in my podcast that speaks to several main topics, but I deal with a whole lot of stuff from a biblical perspective. But one of my main topics that I deal with is ethnic reconciliation, healing,
you know, things of that nature, moving the relationships forward in a positive way. So that's about me.
Yes, Johnny Hodges, teacher of the gospel, enjoy the word. I do have a radio show called the My God is Radio Broadcast. Can see some of our teachings at www.mgiradio.org. Right now we're taking a short break, seasonal break, until the Lord releases us to continue doing some more radio broadcasts. And I am so great to be here. Excited. That's all that I have. Thank you.
I'm Jonathan Austin. I am a member of the High Culture Podcast with Terrence and my sister Sheree. I mostly focus on or research the political aspect of our podcast and kind of worm that in into the Kingdom perspective. But I also add into the other topics as well. Like Brother John said, I'm just excited to have this conversation because, once again, this is one of the conversations that I really thoroughly enjoy kind of having and chopping it up. So just happy to be a part of this conversation.
Yeah, yeah. And once again, this is Terrence. I am a member of the High Culture Podcast, but I also frequently jump on the New Numa Godcast with my brother Norman. And I know Brother Johnny from Kingdom Media Foundation, which I created, also the founder of the Watchmen Society and Royal Priesthood Education, where we just bring, we say, complex views and try to simplify it and make it something that everybody can build from. If you're a scholar or if you're an urban scholar, if you're in the streets, either way, we have something for everybody. So anyway, let's get into this topic. First, I want to just kick it off by asking the question, do you believe that racism exists? That's one thing. And then secondary, if you do believe racism exists, then how does it impact the church? And the second question I want to connect to that is, if racism does not exist, how do we address the ethnic impartiality or the ethnic disputes that go on in the church, unless you feel like that doesn't happen? And Johnny, I want you to open this up and then we can build from there.
Yes, I appreciate it. You know, as you was asking the question, I really would like to hear, do you have a definition for racism for the room, or are you leaving it up to the people that's answering the question to define what racism is?
Oh, that's a great question. I would say I have my own definition, but I don't want to create the definition for the room. I want to say, define your definition and then answer the question based on what your definition is, because I want you to have freedom to go from how you see it. And then we might differ or talk about your definition or not. So yeah, however you want to answer it.
So I would define racism in my own words as having a bias, discrimination, a favor akin to whatever you want to call it, against a group of people based on their outward characteristics and color of their skin, texture of their hair, whatever the case may be. Does it exist? Absolutely it does. And what was the other question again? I think that was all. Does it exist? That was the question. That was it, right?
Yeah. And how does it, if it does exist, how does it impact the church?
It impacts the church in a very interesting way, because I would say that Sundays or whatever days of worship would be probably the most segregated day of the week. Black people tend to congregate amongst black people. White people tend to congregate amongst white people. Hispanics tend to congregate amongst Hispanics. Now, there's an interesting caveat to that, because to some degree, there's nothing wrong with that, because, I mean, it's normal for certain groups of people to congregate. I think that there should be a point or place in a person's walk where they grow out of that, where they will desire to maybe venture out, because the Bible, the scripture is clear that all nations call me blessed. And so I just think it's important for us to understand that I don't think that God sees color, quote unquote, that he's concerned about the soul, because the color of everyone's blood in their veins is all the same color. So how does it impact the church? I think it impacts the church negatively when we have denominations that are built on race. You know, there are some, I'm not going to name them. I may name them toward the end of this thing as we get a little heated in discussion. But I do know some denominations that their whole denomination is based on race and ethnicity. And I don't believe that that is the kingdom of God. So that's all that I have for now. Thank you for allowing me to speak.
Okay, I'm not going to call out each person every time, so I'm just starting this off. I could just do Jonathan this time and then Norman, but then after that, you know, we'll just jump in when the question is asked, or if there's a pause, I might say something, but just jump in afterwards. So you can get it, Jonathan.
All right, brother. I would define racism as having a position of authority or power over other individuals based on their ethnic background or race, or having an influence over how they conduct themselves or how they are able to conduct themselves on a daily basis. I would call that racism. Does it exist in the church? I absolutely do believe it exists in the church. And as far as how it impacts the church, I would also agree. I would say, looking at the church in two different ways, I would say, you know, the body of believers, I think, you know, it doesn't have that level of impact on the body of believers. But as far as the religious structure of Christianity, I believe that that's the way it was created, and that's the way it was based on. And I think a lot of the things that have been learned, a lot of things that have been taught, a lot of things that have been passed down, a lot of information that has been altered and changed to create misinterpretations and have people looking at different ways. I mean, personally, I went through a period of time where I had to question what I believe, because I truly didn't know what I believe. Just researching and understanding some of the downright just, you know, lies about what it is. And so I had to seek the Father, I had to seek the Spirit, and I had to come to agreement with them and about where I am. But I would say the structure of the religion is definitely influenced by religion negatively, and that's why you see so many people separated. But as far as the body of believers, I think, you know, the united, you know, the understanding of what we, where we belong, our kingdomship, our citizenship, and where it is, I think we handle it collectively, and that's all races. I think we handle it gracefully, even though the outside tries to influence it so much.
Well, so I would say, first of all, that definitely racism, and according to the word that we're using, it definitely does exist. My definition of racism would be that there is a system in which certain people have power, have influence, have the ability to affect others, and therefore others are either negatively or positively affected by the decisions of those that are in power within that system. Now, as far as it existing in the church, like everybody else here, we all have eyes, we can see. And if you've been exposed to other cultures within the body of Christ, then you can see that there is racism, as we call it, within those certain places. Now, I have a very, well, I'm going to say like this. I have an experience that some people may call unique or whatever, based on the fact that from childhood, I was exposed to certain things that I don't find that a lot of people, not even in my own family, have been exposed to within, you know, what we call the church and, you know, the body of Christ and whatnot. As early as the age of probably, I would say as early as like 2 years old or somewhere around there, maybe even younger, I was involved in churches where there was a mixture of ethnic groups. So I have known this type of life, so to speak, from childhood. And I was not always just in churches where it was like only one ethnic group there or whatever. I have been in those kind of churches, but I've also been in churches where, you know, from like I said, from my youth, where I was actually around different ethnic groups. And that was something that was kind of, you could say, commonplace, and that I was already expecting from a young age. And then I had, throughout my life, I had experiences where I would see various types of churches. I've seen the churches that are all, you know, African American. Then I've seen churches where it was basically all white. And I've been in churches that's been in between and had other ethnic groups as well. So in those experiences, I can say that I've had a taste of what it's like to be in various types of scenarios when it comes to ethnic groups within the church. And one thing that, you know, I would say as I got older, being exposed to the various types, you know, because it's also spanned across what we call denominations. And I've seen where, you know, different types of denominations seem to be more what I would call segregated than others, from what I've experienced. And it seems as though in certain what we call denominations, they had more openness to a mixing and a combining of various cultures together. And I believe that in a way that speaks to a new move of God, so to speak, a move of God that was designed by God to express something new that he wanted to show forth in the earth and bring about in this culture that we live in America. Because, you know, when you think about it, America is probably the most, like I said, if we're using the word racist, it's the most racist country that I've ever seen in the world. And I've been to a few countries, and I've also observed countries over the years of my life and experienced certain things within that. And, you know, we can see where in history that America has had a very huge part in the whole conversation of ethnic disparities. And as I was saying about, you know, my personal experiences, you know, when I was growing up, the time that I really, really remember as far as like, you know, really, I guess, paying attention to the differences that I was seeing in people was around the age of 8. That was when I really started to be aware of certain things. And that's when I was going to a church where it was 99.9% Caucasian, and my family and one other guy were the other 0.1, or, you know, the 1% that was there that was not Caucasian. And so that was a very interesting experience. But in that church, that was very, they were very loving and open to the ones that were there. And I believe that if it didn't matter who would have come there, they would have been open and welcoming to them. But I believe that one of the things that causes specifically for us to see what would be considered the separation and or segregation or whatever is that a lot of times people are intimidated by seeing that, let's say, there's more of someone else somewhere than it is of them. In other words, if I walk into a church where it's mostly Caucasian and I'm not Caucasian, then I would probably be more uncomfortable in the sense that I'm wondering, okay, what is it going to be like in this place? Are these people going to be looking at me like I'm some specimen or like I'm some zoo animal or whatever, and there's some oddity, or all of a sudden, you know, somebody came into the room that's just like disturbing the peace or something of that nature. Like, a lot of people are not able to handle that kind of thing. And this doesn't even have to be just in a church. This could be at your new job. You walk into the room, everybody's looking at you, and you're like, oh man, you know, you already stick out like a sore thumb because nobody knows who you are. And so in that situation, you already kind of being analyzed and under a microscope, as it were, you know, in that situation, until people get to know you, they get to know what kind of person you are, and you are also in a position where you've proven yourself. One thing that a lot of people are not willing to do that I've seen is willing to put themselves in a situation where they may initially feel uncomfortable. And yet, I'm one of those kind of people that I don't care if I go into a situation where I might feel uncomfortable at first, especially if I know that that's where God has sent me. And I've been in situations like that several times in my lifetime, specifically in my adult life, where I've gone to various churches, and no matter what kind of mix was there or not, or lack of a mix or whatever of people, I still was okay with it, and I was able to blend in a sense. As far as I was concerned, I was blending in. You know, maybe I was standing out like a sore thumb to people that knew I wasn't, you know, that I'm new there or whatever, but, you know, I was able to come in and feel at home and or, you know, make myself at home no matter how I might have initially felt coming in. And I've been in situations where I walk in a door and it's like pretty much mostly Caucasian, and I'm one of the few that's not Caucasian walking in that door. But pushing through that type of situation, I was able to, you know, make myself push past the uncomfortable situation that was there initially. And then I was able to be in a situation where over time, just like with anything else, the longer you're there, the more people get to know you. And then the more they open up to you, the more they're not as stiff or as cold maybe, or as awkward with you as they used to be or they were when they first met you. And that's with anybody. And it doesn't even matter whether they're a different ethnicity or not. You're going to get that regardless of whether you're among people that look like you or don't look like you. That's just the way it is when you first come into a situation. I think what exacerbates that kind of a feeling or whatever is when a person is of a different ethnicity and then they come into a place like that, into a church specifically, where they're around a different ethnic group. And then maybe in their minds, in a great way, they're already kind of like bracing themselves for something that could be, you know, more awkward than it needs to be. And I think that that also is part of what contributes to this thing that we are seeing in a great mass in America with the separation on the biggest days of worship. Now, I'm gonna say one last thing and at this moment, and I'll, you know, pass it on. But I wanted to also point out the fact that the one thing that we are kind of really addressing mainly is the areas where there is a multitude of ethnic groups. Because if you go to somewhere like, I don't know no names of cities like this, but I know there's cities in middle America, as they say, you know, where you could go and all it is Caucasians there. So they're not going to have a mixed church. It just ain't going to happen because nobody else lives there but Caucasians. So in that situation, it's not that they created this segregation, so to speak, but they're just automatically in a situation where they've not seen it. And I've heard of guys, I met a guy who was from Idaho. No, he was from North Dakota. And he said the only place that he had ever seen an African-American up until he was like 19 or so was on TV. He had not seen anybody like that where he lived. As a matter of fact, the only ethnic group that he saw outside of Caucasians was Native American. And the Native Americans of that city where he was from, they were like how in a lot of major cities in America, the African American and or how Hispanics are viewed as far as being the criminals and stuff like that, that people are normally, you know, expecting. So anyway, I just wanted to bring that part into it that, you know, it does seem that especially in the major cities, that it should be more possible for people to come together as a mixture of people. But, you know, that's because they are there in that surrounding area to be able to come into a church like that and be involved. So that's just part of what I wanted to add to the conversation about that piece.
Okay. So let me just give, probably got to take notes because you probably have things you want to address and trying to be respectful and not cut anybody off, but just take notes. And then when you get on and you can just go ahead and address certain things that were said. But I want to just address what Brother Johnny was talking about. And he said, what are you talking about when you're talking about racism? And I think that is it's an excellent question. I just want to make sure before I go into this, can y'all still hear me right now?
Yes.
Anybody? Okay. All right. So when I think about racism, I think about it in, I would say, probably four different areas. I think about there is a spirit of racism, a demonic spirit or a principalic spirit. If we're talking about demons, those spirits can operate in individuals who motivate them to operate in hatred, and they're using the issue of quote unquote race as the target for their hatred. But I believe that is a demonic spirit when it's on an individual level. But I also think it's a principalic spirit when you start talking about regions or territories. So that's covering more than just dealing with somebody who's possessed or who is influenced by a demon individually, but that there are principalities that can rest over territories that could operate in that. That's one. I say the spirit of racism. And then also when I think about racism, I think about the system of laws that uphold classism, which benefits, it could be different types of people, but in this context, in most cases, it's the Europeans and the elite who adopt the ideology of what they would call, or many would call, the colonizers, even if they're Black. And I'm using those terms loosely, but even if they're Black, they might adopt the ideologies of the European colonizers. And so the system of laws that uphold that classism, that could end up looking like what we call racism. And then also I think about the doctrine of racism, when people are taught to hate people based on what they call race. And it's a doctrine of devils, you know, the embracing of the ideology, whether it was taught by a racist parent, whether it was taught by in school or taught by whoever it was taught by, there's the doctrine of racism. So people, you know, children, when they come out, they don't care about that. I remember when I was, you know, a young child and I start liking girls and saw this white girl that I like, I ain't care nothing about what she looked as far as her pigment. She was just pretty. And so I went after her. And so, but then later on, you know, I got introduced to Roots. And then I was told by, you know, my parents, like, hey, I want you to date a black woman. You need to marry a black woman. Especially my mom. She was like, listen, we need to, you know, keep within our own kind, you know, and you know, this different things you can be taught by your family and you can be taught by society. So you have to, so you have the spirit of racism, you have the laws that uphold racism, then you have the doctrine of racism, what I've talked about, and also the traditions or cultural norms that work in the favor of certain people more than others. And I think Brother Norm was talking about that. So just to make sure I'm clear on what I'm talking about spirits, I'm talking about laws, I'm talking about teachings, the doctrines, and I'm talking about traditions and customs. It was an accumulation of history over time that brings about a certain mindset about how certain people are, what they've done to us in the past. You know, you hear people say, you can't trust them because they've been known to do this, not only in America, but in Jamaica or, you know, the West Indies or, you know, anywhere where they go in a certain way. So you can have a certain mindset about that based on a collective historical experience. And you say, hey, why would you keep getting fooled when these same people are doing the same things over and over? And so that's where some of the traditions, customs, doctrines, and even the laws that are put in place. And that's just what I wanted to get to this part. So we can open it up and get into some discussion. I know Brother Johnny mentioned these churches that were created around race. Well, I want to speak to that. First of all, I think we all agree that race is a construct that was created by men, that we're all part of the Adamic race. So we're all one race. So we're using this term loosely. We're talking about ethnic distinctions. But with that in mind, I know that there are many things that have been discussed about racism. Oh, what was I going to say? I was about to say something. Brother Johnny, you were talking about the churches, yeah, and that were built around race. Well, we have to look at that and see what was the reason, because we could talk about denominations and, you know, AME churches and different churches, but we have to also look at, were those people, just say African-Americans who started certain churches and organizations, did they create them out of around the idea of we don't want white people to be around, or did they create them out of necessity because they were not included? They weren't allowed to be a part of what the other people were doing, whether it's the Baptist church or, you know, any kind of Episcopalian church or whatever. And I'm trying to separate the denominational discussion from the discussion we're trying to have. But many of these churches were created because they were not included in the dominant church at the time. So they created them so that they could have a place to worship, a part to play in their worship experience. And do you feel like that is wrong, or that now that these churches have been created, that they should be dissolved because now we have integration and we should just integrate into quote unquote dominant white church? Because I see why there would be a reason for them to be created and have been created in the beginning if they did not have acceptance, if they were not accepted, or if they weren't allowed to be a part of the church that was officially recognized at the time. What are your thoughts about that?
I think it's one thing to not have a choice. So I get it. If there's not a choice, if you were rejected and you weren't accepted, and you say, well, we're going to worship God anyhow, and we're going to form our own group, that's different than to formulate a group solely based on this is going to be us four and no more. That's a spirit. One example is the Church of God in Christ and the Assemblies of God. At least that was the history that I was taught on how Church of God in Christ came to be. And then you have
Wait. Clarify. Are you saying that the Church of God in Christ was saying we will not accept white people and we're just going to build this around black people? Or
No. The Church of God in Christ, well, at one time, Assemblies of God was Church of God in Christ. And then there was the split because there were those who were in the congregation who said, hey, look, you know, we don't want to worship with those. And so rather than to deal with the internal racism, other parties, they parted ways. And so you have Assemblies of God over here, and then you have Church of God in Christ over here. And then you have other denominations like the African Methodist Episcopal, AME, who's solely created as a quote-unquote black African type thing. And so that's where I think it becomes ungodly and unchristlike when we create something. And I'm not just, you know, it might sound like I'm just picking on black folk, and I'm not, but I'm dealing with the spirit. You know, you have the at one point you had the Southern Baptist, who was just straight Caucasian and didn't want to have anything to do. I mean, and even when you go to other faiths, which I don't consider Christian, but then you have the situation that's going on in the Mormon Church, where they at one point you couldn't be black and be a part of it, but now all of a sudden you can. So I truly believe that stuff like that is inherently demonic. It's not of God. And I want to speak to something. Maybe it's me, but why should we be looking at skin color in the first place? Shouldn't we be looking at the heart of a man? Shouldn't we be concerned about that person's cry? I mean, I don't know. Maybe I'm in the twilight zone with this thing, but I just don't believe that that's the thing that we should be concerned about. I think we should be concerned about, does this person love the Lord? Do they know Jesus as their Lord and Savior? Are they filled with the Holy Ghost? Not all this other stuff. And I feel that this is the reason why the presence of the Lord is not in a lot of these places. Why should I feel uncomfortable if I look, my skin tone is different than anybody else's? I mean, I guess I can understand it, but in the same breath, I think this should be, and it goes back to that level of maturity in the word. And I'm not trying to say that folks are immature or whatever, don't know God, but I just feel like we should get to a place in our walk with God where all that we care about is the level of Christ that's in that individual, the spirit that resides in that individual, and not so much their hair texture, their complexion, or whatever. And I don't know. I'm just maybe folks think I'm too extreme in my mindset and my thinking, but I don't feel that nobody can hold me down or has authority over me if my authority is in Jesus Christ. It's like in one breath we talk like we have the victory and we're raising our hands and we're saying God is good and I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. Oh, but wait a minute, the white man. Well, wait a minute. I thought you could do all things through Christ who strengthens you. What do you mean the white man or this man or that man? How are you oppressed and blessed at the same time? I don't get it. It makes no sense to me. You're either blessed and highly favored, or you're not. And so I hear a lot of double talk amongst specifically believers of color. Believers of color who on one talk we want to march and say we shall overcome. But wait a minute, does not the scripture say they overcame the evil one by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death? I mean, which one is it? And so, I don't know. But
Let's park right there for a moment, because I think Norman wanted to say something, and then I want to address that particular issue about what you're talking about right there.
Yeah, I did want to say something to that. I first of all want to say, Johnny, I agree with you. However, I want to add a caveat to that. When we talk about things that are spiritual, sometimes those things in certain situations are not as obvious, and or they have not manifested in that situation as yet. And then we got to also look at the human component. One of the things that I have stressed in my podcast many times is that God may have said certain things and he may have ordained for certain things to be, but humans still are a major part of whether those things will happen or not. In other words, he had to find a Noah to build the ark. There was nobody else except Noah who could do it and who would do it. And not only that, but let's say when it came down to freeing his people, Moses was the only person who was qualified and who was available and who was willing and all those kind of things to do what he did in that situation. When you look at, in general, the fact that people are a major factor as to whether God will get certain things done in the earth or not. In other words, he's always looking for that willing vessel. If a person is not willing, he won't be able to do anything through them. And so in that respect, when we talk about, can we be blessed and oppressed in the same moment? I'm going to say yes and no. The reason why I say it that way is because if you're in a system where things are set to oppress you, there are things that it would be harder for you to accomplish within that system. Not saying you will not accomplish it, but it will be more difficult because you are facing, like we were talking about earlier, the spiritual forces that are trying to stop you, because within that system, they are against you. They're completely trying to hold you down, hold you back. And no matter what it is that you have determined in your heart to do, there's going to be that resistance. However, it's almost like how the scripture says, you know, let be sanctified in spirit, soul, and body. So when we are sanctified in our spirit, soul, and body, that is a process. And, you know, when you talk about going from glory to glory, from faith to faith, you know, those kind of things mean that there's a progressive changing of situations based upon, let's say, how a person thinks, how a person receives what God has said about them, over them. You know, as far as like, you know, when you talk about, you know, the blessings that can be released in a person's life, none of us can say that just because the Bible says that we are blessed, per se, that we have all the so-called blessings that we want to have in our life right now. So let's say some of us might not have a house. Does that mean that we're not blessed? No, but it does mean that we haven't reached a certain level of blessing. Why is that? It could be because of knowledge. It could be because of connections. It could be because of our faith. It could be because of our lack of, you know, resources or whatever at the time. Maybe it's a lack of knowing how to manage or be a good steward over what we have right now. And therefore, God is saying, you're not ready to get this because you haven't been a good steward over where you are at the moment. And so you can't be a ruler over 10 if you haven't been a ruler over 5. So that goes down to now faithfulness. Are we faithful of the little and then qualified now to be ruler over much? So I think that that's another aspect that we have to look at when we're talking about, you know, the various differences between what is a reality versus what is a declaration over us that we have to then speak over ourselves and then seek to find out how to walk in it. Because it's no different than when the Bible says that, you know, you are a son, but because you are immature, you have to be under tutors and governors for a time until you become a mature son. So being a son, like if I have a 1-year-old child, that child ultimately is rich, wealthy, in a wealthy family. But that doesn't mean that I'm going to, as their father, just throw $1 million into their hands and say, go out here and do whatever you want. First of all, obviously a one-year-old isn't even going to know what to do with that money. And second of all, a one-year-old isn't even mature enough to handle that much money without doing some stupid stuff. So we are looking at we're talking about a level of maturity, a level of, you know, knowledge, a level of understanding, a level of wisdom, and a level of just being able to be a good steward. And so those kind of things are proven over time, and they're tested over time. So the thing that I believe that we're really seeing when we see, let's say, where you say you are a person that is blessed but oppressed, we are within an oppressive system in America. And not only are African Americans affected by it, but anybody who is not rich is affected by it. If you're in the system and you're not wealthy, then you have a level of oppression that you're under, whether it be because of lack of money, lack of connections, whatever it may be, but there is a level of oppression. Now, within that oppression, that doesn't mean that, you know, a person is going around bent over and saying, yes, sir, boss, you know, yes, master, you know, it ain't like that. But it is a situation where there's certain things that have not been accomplished yet because of certain things that might be as an individual need to overcome in that specific situation. So those kind of things are things that we would address over time. And then like we saw with Peter in the scriptures, there was a point in time where Peter was given the keys. And when he got those keys, all of a sudden, certain things changed for him. But if we don't have the keys yet, whether it be because we're not knowledgeable of it, we haven't, we don't know how to use the keys, we don't know where the keys go to, you know, all those kinds of things, then keys in my hand are useless if I don't even know where to go use them. And so what I'm basically saying is that it's a this and that situation, because it depends on where we are in our walk or in our knowledge of things and whatnot. And sometimes, you know, some people, they're just not even aware of, you know, how, let's say they are so-called blessed, but they don't know that they're blessed. All they know is the oppression that they've dealt with. And that's because they've never been taught properly or completely. And in that situation, they are reacting and responding out of the lack of or the access to knowledge that they have in that moment. So that's something that I will say as well.
Okay, let me just say this. Before we go on, because I want to see if Jonathan got something to say, I have something to say, because I want to go back to what Johnny was talking about as far as going into the churches and worrying about, you know, how other people, you know, see them or how they interact. And I think Norman was talking about that. I know that we can take this all over the place. I want to try for us to rein it in and address, even when our analogies and our conversation, to the topic of racism, because I want to make sure that we can have a dialogue. And I don't want to regulate how long y'all go. I just want you to be able to have an exchange, because somebody might want to say something directly to what you said. And if you say a whole lot, then it's like, okay, you move past that point. So I just want y'all to be able to interact with each other. But Jonathan, did you have anything to say directly to what Johnny was saying or what Norm just said before I get into that?
Yeah. Well, first and foremost, I would say we have an example, our most perfect example, but
Christ was an example of being fully blessed and being oppressed. He was fully blessed in the spirit, but his flesh still was oppressed. Now, that was on our behalf, but at the same time, we see that that happened. So, yeah, we can be a people who are blessed in the spirit, but still be oppressed by a system that has been set in place. There are things that just happen that really hurts a person's ability to be able to succeed. And that's just the honest to God truth. And then on top of, as far as the diversity in the church and what you see, I think in a perfect, not even a perfect world, but in a good world, in the right world, we as believers, every ethnic group has gifts and talents that they can bring to the table that we can benefit from. I thoroughly believe it. And I believe that's why we were created the way we were created. We were created diverse. We were created different so that we can use those differences and those diversities to find new and creative ways to continue to worship and praise the Father. But we messed that up along the way. And in some instances throughout history, certain groups have taken advantage of that. I think we forget just how short time ago, I'm going to stick to where I'm from, the South, and just a short time ago, Jim Crow was a thing. Like, there's still people who are alive who it was certain places where they could go and worship, where they could go and be. And you have to look at the way those things were passed down and those things were transitioned to a group of people and how that affects the way they worship today. Like, we still have, you know, if great grandmother worshiped, had to worship in this place, then she taught grandmother the same thing. And then, you know, mama's learned the same thing. And that stuff gets passed down while groups of people get lumped together. And then you also look at, most of the time, believers are going to worship in places where they live. And so we usually live together. But you see in the big metropolitan areas, to speak to Brother Johnny, you see the major big mega churches with a diverse group of people who are in there praising and worshiping. So I think, you know, to kind of target certain groups and why, we got to look at the root of why there was a separation of, on this side in America, I mean, why there was a separation in worship between ethnic groups. Where did that even start? And it wasn't black people.
So I know Brother Johnny was like, Jesus was oppressed and blessed. How? He put that in the comments.
Wait,
this is what I want to.
So I just want to say this before you respond to that, because I'm gonna get them what I have to say later, but I just want to keep the conversation going. But so you have Christ, the Son of God, but then you have the Son of Man, who was part of the Hebraic Jewish community that was under Roman influence. So those people were subjugated under Rome. And so how can you separate the fact, you can't separate him from everybody else, even though he was, you know, who he was and who he is, he was still a part of a demographic of people who were under subjugation under Roman rule. Would you agree with that or not?
That question's for me.
That's directly to you.
Oh man, I couldn't wait till y'all come to me on this one. Okay, we talking about the same Jesus who said, "I lay my life down, and I pick it up again." We talking about the same Jesus that said he could call.
Thanks for listening to the New Numa Godcast once again. This is your host Norm. Follow me at Norm the Professor on IG. I'm in agreement for power and breakthrough in your life. Keep tuning in every week for that real talk, new life.